Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Revelation with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 6, where we talk about the millennial reign of Christ, what it is, and also what it is not. As we see in today's text, God's kingdom is coming, and with it, peace for all eternity. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1.
Well, good morning, Second Service. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We are in Revelation chapter 20 this morning, and we are going to begin our reading in verse 1. We'll read down to the start of verse 7 so that if you have a Bible with you, I tell you this information so you can follow with your eyes as I read out loud. If you didn't bring one with you this morning, you can follow for your convenience on the screen behind me. Again, with your eyes as I read these scriptures out loud to you. It says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, John the Revelator speaking, he says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven," he says, "having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." It says, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and he bound him." And I want to point this out to you at the onset of our study here. This is the first of six times that this time frame is mentioned. Notice here it says that he is bound for 1,000 years. It says, and it says in verse 3, "He cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and he set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the, for the second time, 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that, he must be loosed for a little season." John says in verse 4, "And I saw thrones," notice the plurality there, "and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and they reigned with Christ," here it is again for the third time, 1,000 years. "But the rest of the dead," verse 5, "lived not again until for the fourth time the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed," verse 6, this is the fifth beatitude in the book of Revelation that I'm seeking to point out to you here. "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him for the fifth time 1,000 years. Then real quickly here, the start of verse 7 says, "And then when the 1,000 years," there's the sixth time, "are expired," so on and so forth. We'll save that for next week. Now what I want to do, I think it's appropriate, is turn over to Matthew 6, and I want to read to you out loud the Lord's Prayer. If you want to turn there, you can. Perhaps you have it memorized. If you do, I'd ask you, invite you to say it out loud with me. We'll begin a reading in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to start reading here in verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You guys can be seated. Jesus, we give you thanks for your word this morning. We are so grateful for the prayer that you taught us to pray, for us to ask of you for your kingdom to come. In this early September morning, Lord, of 2021, I can't speak for everybody, Lord, but for myself personally, I have never been more hungry for your kingdom than I am now. I have never longed, Lord, more so than I do now for the day that you will reign and rule in righteousness over this whole earth. Lord, creation groans and I join in their groaning. Lord, what a day it will be when we are able to behold you and to be with you, reigning and ruling by your side. And until that day, Lord, we pray that you would keep us faithful. Ground us, Lord, in the depths and riches, Lord, of your word. Use it this morning to instruct us, to guide us, to keep us, to encourage us, Lord, to convict us, to stir us. We certainly welcome you in this place to move among us. Open our ears, Lord, we want to hear Jesus. Open our eyes, Holy Spirit, we want to see Jesus. So, Lord, have your way among us now, we pray, for your glory, for your honor, till your kingdom comes. And all of God's people said, amen. I mean, that's what we're reading in Revelation chapter 20. We're dappling into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when he is here physically, literally, reigning and ruling over the whole entire world. Jesus taught us to pray this. I mean, that's really the first line of request in the Lord's Prayer. After blessing him, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? Bless your name. The first thing that he then says to his disciples to pray is your kingdom come. We're longing for the day for Christ's kingdom to come. Now, I want to go into a few things that are a bit complex with time constraint regarding the coming of the kingdom of God before we write home this thought of what it will be. I want to first basically take an opportunity to say, I guess what I'll do here is I'll quote here a theologian of old who said this, and then I'll kind of ride the theme of what he said. He said, quote, "It's always easier to understand what the Bible says than to understand what somebody thinks it meant to say," close quote. And let me say that for you one more time. It's always easier to understand what the Bible says than to try to understand what somebody thinks it meant to say. Okay, and up till the 3rd, 4th century, there was no complexity with the Bible teaching of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. We get the word millennium. It's a Latin word. The first part, mil, it means 1,000. Annum means years, 1,000 years. It's the Greek word chilios. We, if we believe in a literal 1,000-year ruling and reigning of Jesus Christ on the earth, we're chilios. That's what we are. We believe in this literal kingdom of Christ that is coming that Jesus taught us to pray for. But what has happened since Christ has ascended back to glory is men have come on the scene and they've come up with all sorts of ideas and notions that are not biblically based to this very event that Christ so clearly speaks to us about. So because there are so many regarded and excellent Bible teachers elsewise that have embraced this eschatology that I'm going to present to you in just a moment, I think it's important to show you where we stand as Calvary Chapel, where I stand as your pastor and our leadership team so that we can make better sense of the flow of Revelation. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to reference, as we build our base here, to Daniel chapter 2. There are ample Old Testament Bible prophecies and scriptures that I can use and point you to that prophesy of the coming kingdom of Christ. But I'm going to use Daniel chapter 2 this morning, and I'm going to reference to the dream of Nebuchadnezzar that he has there, and he cannot find an interpretation to his dream. Daniel is raised up by God. The Lord gives him the interpretation. He says to the king that he saw a succession of earthly kingdoms, all that would be destroyed by a rock that came out of heaven, that would grow into a large mountain and that filled the whole earth. Daniel said that final kingdom that he was speaking of is the kingdom of our Lord. That some 600 plus years before Christ even came, Jesus referenced that kingdom when he said to his learners and followers, pray for that kingdom to come. It's an actual, literal kingdom. And in Daniel chapter 2, I'll read it to you. Verse 44, it says, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people." And we pause to say, praise God, right? As Americans, for us, it's no Republicans, no Democrats, no Libertarians, just Christ. What a day that will be, no other people. "But it shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, every kingdom, the Roman kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, the Egyptian kingdom, the United States kingdom, every kingdom will be broken, and the kingdom of God shall stand forever. For as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands," supernatural, "that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king, which shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure." And so should we be of this coming kingdom of Christ. It is certain, it is sure, it is the word of God, right? It's what we stand on this morning. I want to say this to you before I then give to you the faulty interpretations concerning the eschatology of the millennial reign of Christ. C.S. Lewis said this, and it bears witness with my spirit this morning more than it ever has before. He said, quote, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world," close quote. He said, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy. Is anybody here this morning? Say, yeah, that's me. I mean, you don't have to respond. If you want to, you can. I always welcome that type of a response, right? Nothing in this world can satisfy. The most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. We're otherworldly, right? That is what C.S. Lewis is saying. And certainly, if you receive Jesus Christ, the taste of his kingdom is already within you. The kingdom of God, right? Jesus said when he was on this scene physically, it is near you. For you and I as New Testament saints filled with God's spirit, the kingdom of God is in us. Christ is already reigning and ruling in me. Okay, I can't speak for you. He's the Lord of my life. He's not just my Savior, he's my Lord. He leads me, he guides me, he shepherds me, he directs me. And what a day it will be when he's physically here having control over all of the universe in that fashion. Now, yeah, you can certainly give him a round of applause. Now, where things get confusing is when does this happen? Okay, now I'm sorry to those of you who were with me up to this point and you think, please don't do this. I have to for just a few minutes because I think it is so important for you and I to have a really strong Bible-based belief system concerning end times. I also have a major passion and conviction to have Bible teaching archived for those who are not yet saved. I want there to be Bible teaching. I mean, if Jesus tarries and we actually finish Revelation, I want there to be archives of Revelation, line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, for those who are left behind during the tribulation period. And I hope there could be fruit from this ministry long when we're gone. Won't that be kind of amazing? They'll be listening to this right now, getting chills, thinking, wow, that was for me. Yes, whoever you are, that will be for you. Okay, so what I want to do here for just a minute is explain to you the three main schools of thought concerning the millennial reign of Christ. The first two are ones that I disagree with and reject. And then the third and final one is the one that me and the leadership team believe and embrace. The first here is the less popular of the second that I'll mention to you, and that is those who consider themselves to be preterist or post-millennial in their eschatology. Okay, by way of simplicity, because it will not be simple, if you'd like to take shorthanded notes, to describe to you somebody who's post-millennial in their thinking, it's very simple. It's those who believe and embrace that Jesus Christ comes after the kingdom of God is established. Okay, they believe that Jesus Christ comes after the kingdom of God is established. So essentially then what they say is this, that the millennium slash what is called or referred to as the golden age, it needs to be brought on by the church. And then Jesus will come. So it puts the onus on us. Now, in the United States of America, again, not speaking because of time constraints, I can't get into all the details, but in our nation, that was somewhat more popular than it is now before things like World War I and then World War II and the Great Depression, and now even in our generation, COVID-19, and how different the world looks 2 years later and how much it doesn't cooperate with what should be a golden age for Jesus to return to. You got amazing evangelists like George Whitefield going years and years and years back that were so supernaturally used by God that even the president of the United States would show up to listen to Whitefield speak. And these open-air preaching sessions where 15, 20,000 people would gather. There was such revival. The word of God would go forth with such power and just such glorifying manifestation of Jesus that even the president would come and those that knew him would say, I thought you don't believe what Whitefield believes. And he would say, I don't believe what Whitefield believes, but Whitefield believes what Whitefield believes. And I just love to listen to that conviction, that persuasion. It is said of Whitefield that he would preach so powerfully that crowds would show up, and if there were no adequate PA system for him to be heard by the masses, that he was so in sync with the Spirit that he would pray and ask the Lord to give him a voice that would resound without any aid of a system, and he'd get up there to preach, and everybody would hear and respond, essentially, to the message that was given. So this idea of post-millennialists kind of was birthed, not just from him, but other instances like this, where we got to bring in the golden age. We have to be used in such a way where there are Christian presidents and prime ministers and leaders all around the world. We have to Christianize, evangelize the whole world before Christ will come. The church has to be ordained everywhere, and the whole world has to be converted. And then when that happens, Jesus will take his rightful place. I say to you this morning that that is seriously wrong. Okay, and I'm going to use scripture to back my stance here. The first thing that I want to say to you is this, and I'm feeling it. And if you're on the straight and narrow, you're feeling it too. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said, narrow is the way. Narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. Broad is the way that leads to damnation. Okay, so the idea of a golden age before Christ comes does not match up with the very words of Jesus in that portion of Scripture. Recently, we just studied Revelation 17, specifically verse 8. John the Revelator says that he had this vision, and it said that multitudes were marveling after the beast whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Multitudes are marveling at the instead of Jesus Christ. That doesn't sound like a golden age to me. It seems to cooperate more so with what Jesus said in his warnings of the last days, that they would be like the days of Noah, filled with violence. To give you some scripture references, Paul said to his protege Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, this is why I reject preterism or postmillennialism, right? Here's what it says here in 2 Timothy 3. Paul said that in the last days, it would be waxing worse and worse, not getting better and better, readying the kingdom. Jesus in Matthew 24, whenever I get an opportunity to quote him, I'm very fond of that. Matthew 24, Jesus said, verse 12, in the last days, iniquity would abound. And we're seeing this. So this is why I lean the other way tremendously and believe that we are the generation that might hear the trump sound and the words come up hither, because we are right where Jesus said the generation would be without the disruption of an outpouring of his Spirit before that event takes place. You with me so far? I'll give you further scriptures because it's not about my opinion. It's about what God's word says. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul warns and he says, in the last days there will be this prominence of doctrines of demons that would plague the world. In the last days, your translation might render it this way, there'll be doctrines of devils, not a golden age to me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, you should spend time there. Paul's description to Timothy of the last days, he said this, that men would be lovers of pleasure more than they are lovers of God. Our generation is obsessed with self-pleasure. And then Peter, the apostle, in his epistle, 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, he warns of this prominence also of false teachers. So this idea, this notion of us having the onus on us and we've got to ready the kingdom for the king to come, in that regard, it doesn't seem very biblical to me. Number two, the second main school of thought, which is more popular in the day and age that we are living in, is those who regard themselves as amillennialists. Okay, again, shorthand notes, notes of simplicity. If you are trying to keep some order to these words that are flowing from the pulpit this morning, an amillennialist, somebody who embraces this eschatology, their view is simply this, that there is no literal millennium. They believe and they teach, and this is prominent, and I don't want to name names because that's not my agenda this morning, but you would be probably surprised some of the speakers and pastors that you are fond of who embrace this theology that are really solid and strong in other teaching of God's word. They go wrong here, though. And let me just stop for a minute and say, and this is why we here at this Calvary Chapel teach through God's word, not from God's word. Okay, this here is why, if you're wondering, why don't you do series? Why don't you get a marketing team and start coming up like what a book's about and then like call it that the whole time we're in the series? And why don't you do topicals on marriage and on sex and on raising kids? Right, here's the deal. So if I teach through the Bible in proportion to God's heart for this congregation, I'm going to hit this and that as he sees fit every week. And you want to know what's even crazier? First service is going to go one way and second service is going to go another way because God the Spirit is going to meet with you as his children per your needs and the congregation that you're attending. Okay, so we give place to God's Spirit. I don't have God's Spirit. God's Spirit has me. That's the goal when I'm up here. Hopefully that makes sense. When you teach through God's word, you get everything you're supposed to get. It's very balanced. When you teach from God's word, well, you're prone to lean the way that you want to lean and go the direction that you want to go. And a lot of solid, amazing men of God, but the best of men are men at best, they're topical teachers, which doesn't make them weak as a whole, but it does make them weak sometimes when it comes to topics like this that are a bit confusing. And you miss the fullness of the picture if you only have pieces to the puzzle.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.